5 through 41. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? This morning, I want to share something the Lord gave me when I read this, and it just touched my heart in a way that it never has. Much like the disciples and Jesus on the ship and the ships around them, our world, our society, we're in the middle of a storm. There's all kind of things going on around us that are rocking the boat. And I just want to focus a minute on something that we talk about probably every Sunday on this stage. We talk about relationship with the Lord. Part of that relationship is prayer. And my hope is that through this scripture, we can learn how to ask in faith. You see, the world, they may say words and they call it prayer. But for us as believers, prayer is simply talking to the Lord, communing with him, communicating with him. There's not a certain way that it has to be done. There's not a certain formality. It's simply communicating with our Lord and our Savior. In the name of Jesus, we pray. But far too often, like we'll discuss in a moment, just like the disciples, although we know God's power and we know his word, we still fail to ask in faith. And my hope is that going through this scripture and sharing what the Lord gave to me will help us to learn how to not just pray with lip service or with what rehearsed repetitions we know to say, but we go to God in sincerity and we pray from our heart in faith. Amen. Amen. In Mark chapter 11, starting at verse 22, it reads, Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Now the disciples had spent time with Jesus, more than any of us have, because we haven't been in his physical presence. And the first thing that jumped out to me, in the very first part of that scripture, it says, Jesus said, let us pass over unto the other side. So the first point that I want to bring out, the reason why we fail to ask in faith is because we don't believe the word of God. He said to them, let us pass over unto the other side. He didn't say we might make it. He told them firmly, let us pass over. So when they all got on the ship, there should have been a knowing, because Jesus said, we're going to pass over. No matter what storm or what rocks this boat, We're with Jesus. We're with the Lord. We're with the Master. We're with the Savior. And if he said it, that should be it. That's his word. One of the reasons why we fail to ask in faith is because we don't trust in his word. We don't trust in his promises. Let us pass over into the other side. Just for context, I did a little reading about the water that they were passing over. It's sometimes called the Sea of Galilee, but it's actually a lake. Lake Tiberias, it's called. Genezareth, Lake Kinneret. It's named by the places that surround it. But just for context, this lake, this sea, this body of water is about the size of Lake Ray Hubbard, which I believe is one of the large, if not the largest body of water in the Dallas area. 13 miles long. Well, Lake Ray Hubbard is 13 miles long, and so was the Sea of Galilee or Lake Tiberias. But that body of water that they were crossing was 8 miles wide, where Lake Ray Hubbard is only 3 miles. So this is a pretty big body of water, and it's surrounded by mountainous or hills. So it was known in the scripture and known in that time to be a body of water that experienced a lot of storms and rocky weather. And remember, some of these disciples on the ship were fishermen. So they were experienced men, and they no doubt went across this body before, this body of water. So Jesus knowingly had them and other people that were other ships around them going across this water, knowing the environment that the water could produce. Just like that, God knows in life we're going to face issues and we're going to face problems. He said, in this world, we would have tribulation, but fear not. Why? Because in this life, just like in that boat, if you're in Christ, you are safe. And getting in his word and knowing it and reading it, learning about his word, learning about his promises in his word, you learn how to stand on those. And you learn not to fear, because there is nothing to fear as long as you are in him. And he is in the boat. Is he the head of your life this morning? Is he driving the vehicle of your life that is your life? Or is he a backseat passenger? And you're going about doing the things that you want to do, relying on your strength, your talents, your abilities. Or is your hand in the hand of the man that can still the water, that can say, peace be still, and it's done? Once we learn to trust God's word, and you can't trust what you don't know. Once we learn to trust his promises, how can you trust a promise that you're not familiar with? This is why it's so important for us to get in the word of God and allow it to get in you and in your spirit. Not just to quote it from memory, so that when you come against these storms and these waves and these rocky moments in life that we know are coming, I've heard it said that we're either going into a trial, we're in the middle of one, or we just came out of one. Satan is on his job every single day. He is roaring about, going about, roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants our very souls. And he will not quit until he has every soul that he can grasp. So we must be vigilant. We must be about our business when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. Because if you know his promises and you know his word and you have a relationship with him, you know his voice. And if he says we're going over to the other side, you don't question it. Because you know you're going to be okay no matter what situation you're in. So the first step in learning how to ask in faith is trusting in his word and in his promises. God is not a man that he should lie. His word is true. His word says that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will last forever. So if you can't stand on anything, if you can't stand on your money, your spouse, your family, your friends, your pastor, you can stand on the word of God today. So Get it in your heart and get it in your spirit so that when you go to God in prayer, you can ask in faith because you know his promises and you know his word. Amen. Amen. In verse 37, it says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." This same story is also in Matthew and in Luke, the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. In Matthew, it says, "There arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves." And likewise, in Luke, it says, "A windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water." So they were in a pretty difficult situation. This boat, I'm not sure how big it was, but I'm sure it's something kind of fairly small compared to maybe like cruise ships and stuff, because water had overtaken the boat. And in their mind, they're in a dire situation. And just like so many of us, just like the disciples, like so many of us, we get so caught up in the situation and in the trial and in the trouble that we're in that we forget about our source. And we may go to God in a prayer, not even really believing that he can do it, that he can answer that prayer. But again, the Lord knowingly took them on this body of water, and he said from the beginning, "We're going across." In your life, you have issues, you have problems. But the moment that you accepted Christ as your Savior, your end is already sealed. Why? Because of the blood. Because of what he did on the cross when he said, "It's finished. It's done." So there are no works, no things that you have to do, nothing that you can earn. Salvation is a gift that's freely given, like we're singing about this morning. So you don't, the enemy wants you to be distracted by things, you know, your pursuit of different things and stuff that's going on. So he's constantly throwing fiery darts at you and situations and problems. We have to start looking at these things with spiritual eyes. Sometimes when I can see the enemy trying to start what my grandparents used to call a dry argument between my husband and I, because we don't, by the time we would finish, we don't even know where it came from. But you learn how to see, okay, drop your head in silence and say, "This is the enemy." And you kind of laugh like, "Okay, I see this for what it is." Or this person cuts you off in traffic, or you speak to a person in a grocery store and they don't speak back, or people are just rude to you for no reason. You start to see this is the enemy. You have to recognize it and see it for what it is, because if you're standing in him, he's going to attack you. He's going to bring things your way. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." In the world, we had issues, we had problems, you know, money ran short for bills, people in our family passed away, we lost jobs, we went through all kind of stuff in the world too. But for some reason, when people get saved, they think all of that stuff is supposed to go away magically, you know. The difference is, on this side, we have Jesus. It reminds me of that painting of the, I don't know, can't think of what it's called, but the man walking, the footprints, and he's walking along, and he sees there, he notices that there's just one set of footprints, and the whole time the Lord was carrying him. God is carrying us through all of this. He's with us through all of it. He just wants us to trust and believe him and come to him. He knows our needs. The word of God says he knows what we have need of. So why do we allow not knowing his word or not standing firm on his promises or the winds and the waves of the sea and the chaos around us to keep us from coming to him and asking him for the things that we need in faith. So first, we need to learn to trust in his word and in his promises, not allow ourselves to be distracted by chaos and trials around us, because that those things are coming. We have to expect it. And when they came to Jesus and they woke him up, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And Matthew said, "Lord, save us, we perish." And Luke said, "Master, Master, we perish." These are the same disciples that are with Jesus who came so that we wouldn't perish. God loves us. You know, the enemy loves to get us on a pity party about our trials or what we're going through. This woe is me attitude wants to make you think and feel that because of what you've done or what you've said, that God doesn't love you. He couldn't love you. The vile things you've done, the things you said, how you've treated people, what you did last night, this morning, what you're thinking about doing later today. There's no way that God could care for you. He wants you to think that. We have to constantly sometimes remind ourselves of God's love for us. We don't have to look back far to see it. Just yesterday, I went to God in prayer in tears about something. And I don't even know why I waited till then to pray about it. I guess maybe I thought I had prayed about it before and I was going to him again and I shouldn't have done that. But the moment my tears began to flow, God just gave me peace. And in the midst of it, just start revealing things to me in my prayer. And by the time I finished the prayer, I'm like, why didn't I just pray this prayer hours ago? Why didn't I just go to him hours ago? You know, we get so caught up in what we're dealing with and what we're going through that we forget that we serve a God who cares. He tells us to cast our care upon him because he cares for us. He gave his son for us. His son gave his life for us. The Lord loves us more than we can even imagine. So don't allow the enemy to make you feel like you're going to perish, that God is going to allow anything that happens in your life. It's because God allows it. Look at the life of Job. Satan had to go to the Lord to ask for permission. Are we less than Job? No. If God is allowing something in your life, even if you brought it on yourself, sometimes we do that. God can give us a way of escape. He can still redeem us and bring us out of situations, even those that we put ourselves in. But we got to trust him. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So when the enemy comes to you, condemning you for your past, you remind him that nothing in your past, your present, can separate you from the love of God. As long as you have breath in your body, you can repent. You can turn your life towards Christ. Don't ever think the enemy, make the enemy think and make you believe that you've gone too far, that you've done too much, because he died for all of it. And his blood covers all of it. So you can always come back to him. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. When Jesus woke, he didn't, you know, and if you read the passages before this, and I'll go into it in a minute, but the Lord had a pretty busy few days healing people and casting out demons, and he was no doubt very tired and in a deep, peaceful sleep. And I don't know about you, but when someone wakes me out of a good sleep, it makes me angry. You know, especially if it's for what you consider to be nothing. But he didn't even scold them for waking him. What he said was, why are you so fearful? That's what bothered him. Like, why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith? You were there when I healed the leper. You were there when you saw me cast out demons and evil spirits. You were there. You just saw this just in the earlier chapters in this book. They had been walking with Jesus, and they said there were multitudes of people, and he healed many. I don't know the numbers, but multitudes, that's a large number of people. He healed many, and he delivered many from evil spirits, unclean demons and spirits, showed his authority by forgiving a man that he healed. Healed Peter's mother-in-law. I mean, they saw all this, the paralytic that they brought down from the roof. They're watching all of this. We're just like the disciples sometimes. We forget who God is, and we don't have to look in the Bible. Think about the things he brought you out of. Amen. I think about the compromising situations, the dangerous situations I put myself in over the years, if not for the Lord. There's no telling where a lot of us would be, many of us would be, without the safety. Even when we were outside of the ark of safety, he knows your future. He knows his plan for you. So he covered and protected you, even when you were outside of his will for your life. You don't have to look far. You don't have to think back far. But if you need to be reminded, you can go to his word. But just that quick, the disciples forgot. And they allowed their situation and their circumstance to bring them to fear. Why do you fear? Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, we can come boldly to the throne of grace in our time of need. That's what his word tells us. We don't have to be timid, shame. It doesn't have to exist when we're in relationship with the Lord. The world doesn't have that. We can go to the very creator of the universe. The world can't do that. We pray in the name of Jesus. And when we pray prayers according to his will, it tells us he not only hears us, but he will answer us. I've heard people say over the years, you know, I trust God. I know his word. I know his promises. Maybe I'm not easily shaken by chaos or trials. I know God loves me, so I don't doubt that. And I walk in faith. I don't live in fear. But I don't pray and I don't ask in faith because I asked God this for this or that, and I didn't get it, or he didn't answer my prayer. The final reason that I'm going to share that some people don't ask in faith is because maybe they have a prayer that they believe is unanswered. Psalms 37:4-5 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Thinking about the prayer that wasn't answered in your life, maybe it's not no, maybe it's not yet. Or maybe it is no, and you just don't want to accept that. But if we are delighting ourselves in the Lord, that means, and we're committing ourselves to his way, then the things that we ask for and the things that we desire are going to align with him. James chapter 4, the earlier part of that scripture talks about, you know, as believers, you know, we like to say, if you have not because you ask not. So we go to God for things. But then in verse 3 of chapter 4, it says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. What lust? What lust? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Are the things that you're asking God for, are they things that are eternal? Things that are going to further his kingdom? Or are they selfish prayers that you're praying? And there's nothing wrong with asking God for things that you may want, But the focus should be on what we need, what he needs for us, what his will is for our life. So maybe a prayer that you prayed wasn't answered the way you thought it should be. I personally believe that if God did not answer a prayer that I prayed yet, maybe that's not in his perfect will for my life. And I'm okay with that because he knows best for me. Maybe if he gives me what I asked for, it could end my life prematurely or, you know, something could happen. I don't know, but he knows all things. So trust God when you pray. And no matter whether you have a prayer that wasn't answered or not, still go in faith when you ask, believing that he can do it. Second Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Many of us aren't receiving answers to prayers because we're not humbling ourselves. We're still living in sin, living in our wickedness. We haven't turned to the Lord for forgiveness. Maybe we need, there's another scripture that says when you go to the Lord, that if you have unforgiveness against a person, are you holding unforgiveness in your heart? There are things that hinder our prayers, saints. And you got to get those things right with the Lord. If you know that you're not walking a path of righteousness the way he would have you to, if you're dipping in and out of sin, if you know you're not living the life that God would have you to live, maybe that's why he's not hearing your prayer. We need to get those things right. Maybe you have something against a brother or a sister in Christ that the word tells us to go to that person, make those things right. Maybe there's something between you and your spouse or you and a family member that you need to make right before the Lord. He's asking us to seek his face and to pray and to turn from our wicked ways. These could be the things that are hindering your prayers today. As I close, I'm going to read James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be unstable in our ways. We don't want to ask God things doubting. Reminds me of in the women's ministry, we recently studied Samuel chapter 1 and we talked about Hannah. We know her story. She was married. Her husband had another wife. That wife was able to bear children and she wasn't. She was taunted by this wife. She felt, you know, just hurt, broken because she couldn't give birth to a child. But she went to God and asked in faith, expecting an outcome. We know that because she promised him that when he blessed her with a child, that she would give that child back to him. And that's how we need to go to the Lord. Not with doubt, not with wavering, not allowing all our situations and issues and problems, all of those things to hinder or things in our life that we're doing that are outside of the will of God, that are hindering our prayers. We want to correct all of those things and go to the Lord in faith when we pray. 1 John chapter 5, and I'm going to end with this scripture, 14, verse 14 and 15, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And I tear up because you hear my voice in this room. Maybe those listening online, you hear my voice. But God hears my voice. That's just amazing to me. When I think of it, it just makes me feel his love for me. That I can go to him in prayer and I can ask him, and I know that he hears my voice. And I know that if I'm praying according to his will for my life or for my family or whatever I'm praying, if it lines up with his will, he hears me and he will answer. Sometimes we have to be patient and wait on that answer. But we got to know that if we're praying according to his will, it's coming. It is coming. Amen. Ask in faith, church. Lord, we just come to you right now again, asking you in faith and believing, expecting. We need you, Lord, to help us, Father, to learn how to pray, to get in your word, to learn your promises, to realize how important it is to know your word. So like the disciples, as we're traveling along this water, this sea of life, that we're not easily broken, we're not easily shaken, because we know that if we stand firmly on your word and in you, Lord, we are safe. And if you say we're going to the other side, God, we trust you. And we believe you, Lord. And we believe that wearing the whole armor of God and staying in your word and in prayer and in relationship with you, God, you will give us everything that we need to fight every battle, to go through every trial that we go through, Lord. Thank you for knowing the things that we have need of, Lord. Just help us to learn how to ask in faith.
God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the anointing power that you have given us through your word, to know that we can ask you in faith for anything, God, that we need. And God, for every heart that's in this room, every heart that is on the webcast, the first thing we want to ask is for the heart of salvation. God, any sin that we have carried and we have not let go, we give it to you now. We know that you, God, have sent your holy precious son to die on the cross for us, and we receive him as our savior, the precious lamb, the most holy sacrifice to save our soul. And we give you our life, God. Every need, every care that we have, we cast it upon you, because you care for us. God, we thank you for just the wonderful work that you have done at Calvary. We know that we could come to you through the blood of Jesus. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So we thank you for the word. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for going to you in boldness and confidence for every care we will have. We leave it here now. We lay it down now. And we know that in faith, God, in faith, it will be done according to your will that worketh in us. In Jesus' most holy, precious name we pray. Amen. That was an awesome word, as always. Thank you, God. I'd like to thank Sister, our Minister Angela, because she's always given a great word. She is a holy woman of God, and we thank her. Couple of announcements. If you haven't given already, we do need your support. Continue to give. The word has been given here. We give the word here. That's what we care about, not anything else. And also, Pastor Lincoln has put the audio commentaries on the website. Now, we know faith cometh by hearing, so anytime you want to, you can hear commentary, true word of God, anytime you want to at your leisure. It's not going to cost you anything. So go look it up, listen to it, enjoy it, as well as there will be a prayer set with the worship team this Saturday on the 12th from 10 a.m. to noon, and that's always a beautiful thing to come out here and pray in fellowship. So please join us then, and at this moment, we're just going to dismiss you in prayer and go. Thank you, God, for everything that you're doing in this ministry, God. Thank you for being a holy and awesome God. I pray that you allow everyone to have safe passage and let us go. As we leave this place, we will never leave your presence. And God, we pray that you bless the speaker. We pray that you bless this ministry. And we pray that you bless those who hear your word here. In Jesus' most holy, precious name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a blessed day.